Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench, because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." The Gospel of the Lord.
Lord, while the words I speak are my words, may the words that we hear be your words. Amen. Today is All Saints Sunday. It's an opportunity for us to remember those who have gone before. Who are those people in your life that have brought you to this moment, made Christian values important, brought you to this place on this particular day? Think about those people. I believe none of us got here for nothing. We got here because somebody loved us. Somebody showed us that Christian faith and the values connected to Jesus were important in some way. They needed to be remembered. They needed to be incorporated in your life and my life. Now, the great image I have for All Saints is the big relay race, passing the baton of leadership from one generation to another. We in our time have inherited the baton from another generation, and we have it. We get to run with it in our time, but we have to pass it on. It's a dynamic, unfolding, ever-changing process. It's not easy. It's messy sometimes. But waiting on God's Spirit and looking for it in each other helps us move through the ages and helps the church become what it's meant to be in its generation. Who are those people who've touched your life, who made it important to be in this place, in this moment in time? There's certainly lots of people who have influenced my life, and probably it's the quieter ones, the ones who love me, the example of my parents. But one person stands out to me as I came to think about this morning and what I might say. His name is Jonathan Daniels, a seminary classmate of mine. We were colleagues in the civil rights movement in the 1960s. A man who gave his life for a 16-year-old African-American girl. His spirit continues to live with me, inspiring me, challenging me, encouraging me to be more, to not only show up, pay attention, but to really lean in. And Jonathan had a Virginia connection, even though he was from New Hampshire. He was the 1961 valedictorian in his class at the Virginia Military Institute. A man who never served in the military, a most, in my view, unlikely VMI person. And yet somebody that VMI has claimed in wonderful ways, inspirational ways, values-based ways. So my relationship with Jonathan goes back to the 1960s when we were in seminary together. We were taken over and really surprised by the civil rights movement. It was the images on television in March 1965 at the beginning of the Selma to Montgomery voter registration drive. Selma, Alabama. The pictures on television of people being beaten at the Pettus Bridge in Selma at the beginning of the march. Those pictures were horrific. And then Dr. King called for people to come and help and participate so that the drive, the march, could go forward. Jonathan and I responded. Jonathan actually went down early and helped organize the next piece and then came back to seminary. For me, it was the end of the march. I was there with the 50,000 people listening to Dr. King preach on the steps of the Montgomery State House, with the Confederate flag flying at full staff and the American flag at half staff. It was a time I'll never forget, and the words of inspiration from Dr. King still echo in my heart. But I was among the group that went back to our lives. I was going to get married later in that summer. I had stuff to do. Jonathan stayed on to do the heavy lifting. He spent time in Lowndes County registering people to vote after the bill was passed. He helped kids with learn how to read. He also picketed whites-only stores. And he and his friends were arrested and put in jail and released on a Saturday afternoon. In a surprising way, they had trouble organizing their ride. And while they were waiting, they went across the street to a general store to get something cool to drink. In the back of the store, there was a man who turned out to be a deputy sheriff who had a gun. He pointed at 16-year-old Ruby Sales. Jonathan pushed her aside and took the full blast and was killed instantly. Needless to say, seminary life in our last year of seminary was very different. And Jonathan's spirit has continued to inspire and challenge me. One other thing that needs to be said about Jonathan was the way that VMI embraced him. He never did serve in the military, so he wasn't inspirational that way. And in the beginning, VMI didn't know what quite to make of his witness, but gradually, over time, they reclaimed him. And now, at VMI, there are four honorific arches. One is to George Washington. One is to Stonewall Jackson. One is to George Marshall. And one is to Jonathan Daniels, who gave his life for a 16-year-old African-American girl. In addition to the arches, they have an award that they give periodically to somebody who embodies the values that Jonathan lived by. I had the privilege in 2015 to be there when they presented the award to John Lewis, the African-American congressman from the 5th District in Georgia. He was there at the Pettus Bridge. He was part of that television confusion that we saw at the beginning of the march, and he was badly beaten in that time. So it was just so appropriate for him to receive that award and to listen to his words. In the context of the whole cadet corps being there, I thought this is the hallmark of values-based education. And so Jonathan continues to be in my spirit, encouraging me, challenging me, inspiring me, living with my spirit. The point is, there are people in our lives who bring us to this place, people who've touched us. That's certainly a dramatic illustration, and Jonathan certainly was a larger-than-life presence for me and has been. But who were those people? Certainly was my mother and father. Church was important to them. But who are those people who loved you, the quiet people who were there in a time of need, who backed you up when you weren't sure anybody appreciated who you were? Because they loved you, because they exercised compassion, because they were graceful, because they were there for you, their values become part of your life and part of the values that are important to you. I often wonder, as I reflect on my friend Jonathan, what would he do in different situations? Thinking about a week ago Saturday, the massacre in the synagogue in Pittsburgh, I ask myself, what would Jonathan do in response to that horrific tragedy? We need to build a world of compassion, of reconciliation. We need to express ourselves publicly. Religion can never be simply a private and personal matter. We are out there. We're living publicly whether we like it or not. But what do we stand for? And one of the questions I ask as we look toward next Tuesday, toward Election Day, I ask myself, what is Jonathan's spirit calling me to do? What kind of world is important now? What values need to be celebrated and impressed? What barriers need to be breached? What bridges need to be built? Where does justice need to be stood tall for? How can we make this world that we're part of a little more like the kingdom of God? The people who have influenced us bring us to this moment. And we have to pass that faith on to the next generation? Who are those people that we want to influence, that we want to share our values with, and who in turn will help shape a world where the values of peace and justice, reconciliation, where those values can go forward? Those are important questions. And so, on this All Saints' Day, we gather in this place. One moment in time, reflecting on people who've touched us in different ways who are no longer with us, and looking forward to those people that we can help understand what is important about the Christian faith. And in and through it all, seeking ways that we can build a better world. A world where everybody has a place at God's table. A world where peace and justice and wholeness prevail. May we be able to make God's kingdom a larger reality today.